Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Go with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Let's talk about it. I need it to rain. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, there's a man that jumps out on the scene of the Bible, by the prophet by the name of Elijah. And Elijah jumps out in chapter 17, and in verse number 1, reading from the New King James Version, he says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew.'" I mean, that's pretty specific. "There will be no dew nor rain these years except my word." Now, nobody's ever heard of him before, but he jumps out on the scene and proclaims to the king Ahab that there will be no dew. There will be no honeydew, melon dew, mountain dew, no dew, according to my word. Now, if that would have been me, I would have been like, "Lord, can't we start with like a headache first? Something small, simple." But he jumps out there and makes this proclamation that there will be no rain except at my word. "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Thank you, musicians. Can we pray over God's word? Father, your word is already anointed. Would you just make it come alive and help me today as the preacher to proclaim and portray what you've put in my spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. And the church said amen. The great prophet Elijah was sent by God to tell Ahab that there would be no rain in Israel for 42 months. And with great confidence, this man who had heard from God goes to this wicked king and declares what God has said and pronounces that there will be no rain. He declares basically war on the enemy with God in his corner. Now let me tell you something. You can't declare war on somebody or anything without God being in your corner. And just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean God don't like them. Did you hear that part? Just because you don't like somebody doesn't mean God doesn't like them. You think that everybody's against you is not of God. You know, the Bible teaches us not to be a stumbling block. And the Bible teaches us, "Touch not his anointed and do them no harm." But how many knows that sometimes the devil uses people, and sometimes you and I are the people the devil uses? "Oh, no, not me. I'm too spiritual." Yeah, right. But that's the reality. But God was in his corner. And so he makes some bold statements and God backs him up. But though his words were accurate, Elijah had no idea the drought would severely affect him. Have you ever said something or prayed something, but you didn't quite really understand how what you just proclaimed was going to affect you? How many of us, don't raise your hand, this is not a question and answer session right now, But how many of you have ever quit a job and said, I don't need you, and then get home and think, man, I need that job. I needed that job. You know, how many of you remember back in the day that you wouldn't quit your walking to pick up a quarter? But now that you got children, you'll pick up a penny on the floor, right? Things change, and sometimes we are affected in a negative way, even though God told us to do something or God told us to proclaim something. For a little while, and I want you to get this picture I'm trying to paint for you. For a little while, Elijah painted this picture. He jumped out there and said, there'll be no dew. And for a little while, he had his own little slice of heaven over here. And it was like, God's got me. I'm drinking from the brook Cherith. I've got fast food called Raven Haven bringing me the DoorDash. What is that? Something grub. What is that one? Hub Grub. Grub Hub. And some Hub Grub bringing me some food in the morning and in the evening. I don't even have to tip. And it's coming right to me. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, and you got to be careful reading things into the Bible. But I know people. And if I were Elijah, I would look at the famine of everybody else and say, I know everybody wished they could be like me. And here he is. But then the brook dries up. That which was sustaining him now is drying up. Elijah now was suffering the consequences. Oh, I should have put this on the slide. He was suffering the consequences of his own victory. Think about that. Oh, I won. Oh, what did I do? See, some of y'all did that when you got married. You fought for your spouse. Then you said, I won, and then you didn't realize what you did. And so he is suffering the consequences of his victory. And then incredible declaration took only a few minutes, but Elijah spent the next 3.5 years waiting for rain. Because the majority of our lives, and that's where many of us live, will be spent waiting on God. It's clear we need more instructions on waiting than we do on the miracle itself. Because when the miracle comes, the miracle will take care of itself. But what we need a little instruction on is how to wait. What do you do in the meantime, in the in-between time? What do you do in the meantime? Well, during this drought, Elijah was refreshed by the brook called Cherith, was supplied with food by the ravens. The brook eventually dried up and the ravens eventually retired. And he was in the same condition with everybody else, getting hungry and thirsty. So he prays to God. So point number one, now we find Elijah in need of a miracle called rain. God, I need it to rain. And he begins praying unto God. And from a human perspective, that certainly seemed to be what he needed was rain. And Elijah may have asked for rain, but God's season for rain had not come yet. And just because you need it doesn't mean that God's got to supply it. And just because you need it to rain doesn't mean that God needs it to rain. Most of us believe in God's miraculous power. But we have to admit, I believe, that we've probably spent more time waiting for the miracle than actually seeing the miracle. And we must admit that many times what we think we need and what God thinks we need are diametrically opposed. What I need, God, if you're single, you're laying, God, what I need is a mate. And if you're married, you're saying, what I need is a break. Don't get done, men. It's Father's Day. Don't get too happy. If my youngest daughter said it best when one of our good friends come by and my daughter bought a new car back in August and he asked, hey, how you like that new car? She said, I like it except for the 17th of every month. That's when the payments due, right? We like it where we are, but we got to understand that at times we think, God, what I need is not what I'm seeing coming down the pike. Lord, what I need is a new job. What I need is a new house. What I need is a new car. What I need is some new friends. What I need is some new children. This is what I need. And it's you many times, not all the time, but many times diametrically opposed to what God says we need. But Elijah soon discovered the truth that you and I must acknowledge. And that is this. At times, we need God's direction more than we need his mighty acts. Because direction will last longer than an act. The direction will last longer than an event. We need to acknowledge that if we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed with what we need, we may miss what God says. Ooh, that's good. We get so focused on what I need that I miss what God is trying to say. And the things God does for us may not last forever, but what God says has a lasting impact on us for generations to come. There are things that God has done in my life, but the things that have impacted me the more is the things that he has said in the midst of me waiting for it to come to pass. Now, I'm going to mess somebody up right here. You already know it, but I just got to remind somebody, and that is this, that the key to receiving from God is being committed to what he says. And that's where we miss it, is we're not committed to what he says, and so therefore we miss. You know, hey, Dad, can I go out with my friends? Is your room clean? Sure. Okay, then yes. And what we hear is yes, not is the room clean. Listen to me. We miss what he says. So although at times and at this moment, you might not be able to make it rain. And when I use that make it rain, the metaphor is I can't make happen right now what I want or need to happen. But you can set your heart to hear the instructions of the Lord. See, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Man, is that incredible? Commit thy way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now that's incredible. I love that. But did you hear the first part? Delight thyself also in the Lord. It's amazing, the more that my children do what I ask, the more I'm willing to give. I'm giving you a clue here, teenagers. The more that they adhere to what I say, the more I'm willing to give. He might not bring it to pass the way you and I want him to bring it, but he will bring it in the way that he wants to if you delight in him. Now, the word delight in this passage, as brought to my attention by one of a precious member one time, says it means to be soft, to be delicate, to be pliable. To delight yourself in the Lord means to be soft, to be delicate, to be pliable in the hands of God. Not rigid, not hard, not unmoldable, but pliable. To delight in the Lord means to say, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing right now, but I'm not going to fight you on it. I don't understand what you're doing, but I will not fight you on it. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I am not going to become hardened, bitter. My God, church, fight against bitterness. God, look at what they're getting away with. Are they? You know, sometimes as children, we don't see the way that our parents deal with the other children. My daughter, now, my youngest daughter, my oldest daughter has been out of high school for 10 years. And while we were away, my youngest daughter asked me a question that we had really never discussed, and she thought that I had bought my oldest daughter this very expensive a gift when she graduated, and then when my youngest daughter graduated, I got her a less expensive gift. Now, 8 years, 10 years, she's been carrying it. It's not, she wasn't bitter about it. She just didn't know. And I said, no, no. I said, she bought herself that. Oh, really? Well, I thought you bought it. No. She goes, well, I was wondering why I got this. And do you understand what I'm saying now? Now, in her mind, there was a difference in the way that I responded. And I said to her, I go, no, we've made sure that we don't do more for one than we do for the other. Because I'm trying to be fair. And I always want to make sure that you know we love you the same. But how much, but it made me think about me as an individual when I see God blessing John. Well, God, what about me? Lord, I can't believe, but I don't know what happened behind the scenes. Now, see, she thought I bought it because it was on my credit card. What she didn't know is that she paid me. Right? And some of us are thinking, Lord, look what you did for Gypsy. But Lord, you ain't doing that for me. No, no. It might be something that Gypsy and God already had going on. Am I making any sense to anybody? I'm trying to get you to get off the merry-go-round of comparison of what God did for you and what God did for me and the one-up-ism that God did this for you and he did that for me. And it makes this comparison, and it makes this, not camaraderie, but the opposite, it makes this competition happen that is not of God. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to do it in your family, and he wants you to do it in the eyes of God, that God loves Ronnie more than he loves Rodney. God loves Ronnie more than he does Deborah. Whatever the case is, you've got to get off of that merry-go-round and say, I love Jesus. Jesus loves me, and he's been good to me, and I'm a witness of it. Delight yourself in the Lord means that I say, I don't like the way this is going, but I'm not going to give any resistance. I'm just going to trust God. Amen. Elijah could have panicked, but it wouldn't do him any good. He could have tried to reverse the curse, but it wasn't in God's time yet. He could have walked away, gone to another country to try and find water, but it was God's will for him to stay right where he was. How can it be God's will for me to stay in not such a good place? Because God's trying to teach you something there. Elijah couldn't make it rain, but in the time of dryness, God was going to speak to him and give him direction. And the direction would last much longer than the rain. Amen. Point number two is this. Elijah was simply not going to get rain at that time. You know, we've created, and it's playing out on the news, we've created a generation that if I throw a fit, if I make a scene in Walmart, you'll get me my toy. That's not political. That's just true. That if I make enough scene, you'll give me what I want, irregardless of what's right. Woo. So the only thing that Elijah could do was wait and listen. Elijah couldn't throw a fit. What's he going to do? It ain't going to do him no good. See, the problem is, you know, and psychologists tells us now, parenting 2020, is when your child throws a fit, don't give him any attention. Just walk away and don't give him any attention. Oh, I'm going to give him some attention. Oh, they got all my attention. At somewhere along the line, people have got to learn that throwing a fit doesn't get you what you want. I've had to walk away at Walmart because they wasn't even my child and I almost took my belt off. But I was going to take my belt off to the parent. But anyway, that's a different story. But Elijah, God wasn't dealing with Elijah that way. You can throw a fit if you want to. It ain't going to do you no good because I'm not going to do what I want to do until I want to do it. Why? Because you don't know what I'm doing behind the scenes. You know, I don't know. I'll probably have to change it because Lauren will be in the next service. But I remember her first car. She came to me. She told me what a car that she wanted. A car. It was not her dream car, but it was her second dream car. And she said, "Daddy, Brother Jim knows somebody who has one for sale. You could go buy that for me for my 16th birthday." And I said, "Oh, honey, I could have, but I just bought a motorcycle for Dad." So I went to Jim and said, "Jim, tell me about this car." He goes, "Yeah, it's a good car, blah, 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 blah." So I said, "Hook me up with the guy." So he hooked me up with the guy, and I bought the car. The next week, my daughter says, "Dad, did you talk with Mr. Jim?" I said, "Yeah, they've already sold the car." They did. They had already sold it to me. But they had already sold it. And so she went, "Oh, really?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm sorry." "Oh, well." Now, she could have threw a fit. If she had have, I'd have gave the car to somebody else before I gave it to her. Why? Because I'm a good father. Now, I kept that car from May to August. Kept it hid at some friend's house. I'd go over there when she was at school and drive the car just to make sure it drove good. And then on her birthday celebration, matter of fact, it was a Volkswagen, a convertible little Volkswagen Beetle, and Pastor John, 6'5", Pastor John, drove it to the restaurant we were going to. It had actually a lot of leg room in the front. You just had to put a baby in the back. But anyway, we walk out of the restaurant, and there was, for whatever reason, the same car sitting in the front, and one, hers, in the back with a bow on it. And she looks at the one and says, "Oh my God, look, Daddy, that's my dream car." First of all, I thought, you need to dream a little bit bigger. But anyway, whatever. I'm glad she didn't dream much. $5,000? Yeah, I'm good, man. Woo-hoo. And then she saw the one with the bow, and she still went, "Oh, my Lord, look, Daddy, somebody's getting that for their birthday or something." It was awesome. Why? Because she had already heard me say that it was gone. Are you listening to me? So she wasn't going to throw a fit that somebody else was getting what she wanted. Now that could be saying that's because she's a great kid or I'm a great father, but you're missing the point. What you're missing is she didn't know. She could have got upset, but she didn't know what I was doing on the backside. And you could be upset that God hasn't given you what you've already asked Him for, but you don't know what God's doing on the backside. That God might have already parked that car at the restaurant waiting for you to get there, and you don't even know what you're headed to. But if you throw a fit and get upset and lose out with God before you ever get there, then you lose the reward. So the only thing Elijah could do was to wait and listen, because it was in the time of dryness that God was speaking to his heart. How often have you and I been frustrated concerning something we needed God to do? The need was urgent. The answer was so evident. Have you ever told God how to fix something? I have. Hey God, all you got to do is do this. God, all you got to do is kill that person and it's situated. Oh, y'all don't pray that way. I'm sorry. God, all you got to do. The need was so urgent to us. The answer was so evident. We prayed, we fasted, we believed, got together, agreed in prayer, and yet put it on our prayer card, and yet nothing, dryness in our lives. And if we could, we would make it rain. But we can't, so we just have to sit and wait. So instead of getting rain, he got direction. Instead of getting rain, he got direction. And this is what he got. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8, he said, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." See, now God was setting him up. God was setting him up to show himself faithful and great to not just one, but to two. See, what you got to recognize is sometimes your miracle does not always have to do with just you. You don't recognize that God is working on other people in the process. So Elijah discovered that God was going to sustain him through the drought in a way that he never dreamed imaginable. Obeying the command to go to the widow's home unlocked God's provision for the prophet. Did you catch that? That obeying the command was what unlocked the provision. Amen. Obeying the Lord is what unlocked provision for the prophet. Saying yes to God in a stressful, not so wonderful situation, saying, I'm going to wait on God. I want to get out of here, but I'm not going to throw no fit. I'm just going to do what I know to do. Unlocked provision. Oh, help me, Jesus. His faith, his patience, his endurance all grew as a result of hearing God's instruction. How many of you ever got on the other side of something and go, man, I'm so glad I listened to God. I'm so glad I didn't get ahead of God. I'm so glad I didn't mess that up. Or how many of, don't raise your hand, how many of us have been on the other side and said, man, I messed that up. I should have waited on God. Or I got involved in it. God wasn't moving fast enough, so I had to get involved. And now I've just really screwed things up. Point number three is this. When the Lord is not moving the way you would like him to, consider this may be a time to sharpen your listening skills. When we can't make it rain, all we can do is listen for the voice of God. Let me bring to your attention three reasons that God might not be sending the answer that we desire. Number one is this. The miracle may be approaching, but from a different direction than you anticipated. You ain't even looking in the direction that it's coming. It's coming in a whole different direction. If you would have got your way, you'd have had payments. Come on, somebody. If you'd have got your way, oh, my God, but the Lord did it, just blew your mind. It was out of left field. You didn't know how it was coming, and all of a sudden, bam, happy birthday, there it is. And you got it. If you would have had it your way, there's a country song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayer. I remember that one. And, you know, man, I don't know about y'all, but there are some prayers I thank God that he didn't answer. Woo! Oh, Jesus. There's some prayers I'm thanking Jesus he didn't hear. He heard them. He just went, oh, you little stupid fellow. You poor foolish man. You really want me to do that? I don't think you do. The children of Israel prayed for years for a deliverer. And they were looking for a conquering hero who would descend into Egypt with military force and sweeping them out of prison into safety or onto safety. However, God was sending the miracle through a baby named Moses. God had a plan that defied logic and a human timetable. But it was also his plan nonetheless, and deliverance eventually came through God's method in God's time. Now, never dreamed I would use this. But in Enterprise, Alabama, how many have ever been to Enterprise, Alabama? Have you ever seen the boll weevil? The statue of a boll weevil? I'm like, how country backward can you get when you make a statue to a boll weevil? But there's a statue in the town square that is dedicated to the boll weevil. And you may, like I, think it very strange. However, but let me finish the story on it. Many years ago, the boll weevil came in and destroyed their cotton crops, forcing the farmers to plant peanuts instead. The peanuts made them a fortune. More than the cotton crop had ever done. So what seemed like disaster actually turned into the greatest fortune they had ever known. And what some of us are crying and belly aching over and complaining to God may actually turn into the greatest thing that's ever happened in your life. Because if that would not have happened, they'd still be planting cotton instead of peanuts. The answer that comes to us may be very different than the one we're expecting, but if we will just trust God, then we'll see the outcome is far greater than what we ever could have imagined. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Here's my own story. I'm telling you, I will go to my grave as the first church I was supposed to pastor was in Panama City, Florida. And if I were pastoring that church, I wouldn't be here. But man got involved. And I was like, God, I know how to fix this. 95% of the church wanted me as their pastor. But the church wasn't a church of God church. We had just came into the church of God. And the official said, we need a church of God boy to go there. And I said, well, you know, I don't have any say. Okay, whatever. The church is closed now. Why? Because I wasn't a pastor. No, I don't know. I'm just saying, it literally closed. But I know this, that I know without a doubt that I'm in the perfect will of God as the pastor of this church. And man, if I hadn't have come here, I would have never got to know Marvin World. I know you're real old back there, Marvin. Are you listening to me? Did you hear that part? Yeah, okay. I hear him, see him chuckling. And now, watch the age stuff. And now, my world's complete. But you understand what I'm saying? I would never be here if that door hadn't closed, but I prayed that it opened. It just seemed to be the God answer. And I was devastated when they said no. But God. But God. Would you just look at somebody and tell them, but God? Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Isaiah 46:9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. O saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. See, we just need to understand that God knows more than us. He knows more than us. I don't understand. And if you ever meet somebody who goes, I understand everything that God does, don't listen to a word they say. Because they're complete idiots. You know, I don't want to serve a God that I understand more than he does. I mean, really? I want somebody smarter than me being my God. And he is not only way smarter, he all-knowing, all-powerful, and has my best interest. Oh, God, give us the attitude of Job, who said in Job 23:8, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. And when he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as pure gold. See, what basically in Florida English, what that verse is saying is I can't see God always, but he always sees me. I can't always see what God's doing, but he always sees me. God, I don't know why there are people going through what they're going through today. But you do. And we've got to ask, do I trust you? And my answer is to that is yes. I wouldn't order the plan for my life, but you have, God. And so it must be for a reason. And you know where I'm at right now. And you know where you're taking me. So I'm going to trust you. Is there anybody in here would have, you know, hey, God, I've never lived through a pandemic. Can we have one of those? Lord, you know, I lived through the 60s and the 50s with the racial tension. I miss that. Can we have that again? Of course not. Well, then why are we going through it? I don't know. Well, I do know because the devil's having his way. But anyway, here's what I do know. That wherever I am, he is there. And whatever I'm going through, he is able to protect me and keep me. Wherever I'm at, he knows my ways. And he's preparing a way out. God may plan to do more with you than you originally thought. Let me just read a scripture to you. Found in the book of Luke chapter 5. I won't wait till you get there. Just write it down. I'll be gone by the time you get there. And it came to pass that as the people pressed him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into the one ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word," remember that hearing, "nevertheless, at thy word, we will do as you ask." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they almost began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished that they were with him at the draught of the fish which they had taken. I think that might be what God wants to do to somebody this morning. I think he just wants to astonish somebody. I think he just wants to pour out his rain on you. See, there may be an area of your life desperately in need of adjustment that God has determined to touch during this time. It was Jesus who turned Peter over to Satan to be sifted. And think about it. Simon, they changed the name to Peter, so it was Peter's boat that he got in. And Peter followed him from that day. But it was also Peter that Jesus said, "Simon Barjona, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not." Now, if I'd have been Peter, I'd have been like, "What? Surely you told him he couldn't have me." But that'd be like, "Hey, Gypsy, I know you're hungry, but I prayed for you, bro. I have the power to give him something to eat, but I prayed for you. I don't need no prayer, I need a potato. A Reese cup." That's what I would have told Jesus. "You have the power to tell him no. Why didn't you tell him no?" Because he says, "But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What he was saying is, I need you to go through what you're about to go through. I know you don't want to, but I need you to go through it. Listen, if God would have asked me, Sherry and I would have never had a crossword. And really, it really wasn't a crossword, just people two blocks away could hear me explaining things. But you understand what I'm saying? That's not what I asked for. If I would have to ordained my life, I would ordain me no trouble. Why? Because if you love trouble, then you're a drama queen. And I hate drama. I don't like drama. But God says, I know what I need for you to do, and I know what I need you to go through, and I'm going to let you go through it, and I'm going to let you experience it, so that when you come through it, you can turn around and tell some other people, the same God that brought me through is the same God that can bring you through. The same God that helped me is the same God that can keep you. God may have to turn you over to some situations that will do a purging in you. But before he did, he prays for you. How do I know that, Pastor? Let me share. Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." God often uses a situation that we can't change or control to make us entirely depend on him. When you need it to rain, trust God. And when you trust God, you know he has a plan for your life. And when you know God has a plan for your life, you'll do two things. One, first, you'll see beyond what is seen. You'll see beyond what is seen. And then number two, you will see the significance of obedience. You'll see beyond what is seen, and you'll see the significance of obedience. The rain did eventually come, but God determined to meet, and I want you to hear this, God determined to meet Elijah's needs and prosper him long before the first drop ever fell. Because he listened and obeyed. Now, you might not be able to make it rain today in your life that you need it to, but you can joyfully find fulfillment in what God has prepared for your life and say, God, I'm listening and I will hear and do whatever you ask of me. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Spirit Life team, if you'd come. I know the generalities of people, and I know that there are needs. And I know there are people that need it to rain in your life. Maybe you need something I didn't even touch. But God knows. God knows. If you need prayer, they're going to lead us in this course. And if you need prayer, I just want you to step out of your seat. Come down to these altars. Let's have a time of prayer. I know it's 9:54. I went a little bit long for somebody who didn't have anything to preach. But I want you to understand that if you need it to rain in your life, would you take a few moments, lift up your hands, and say, God, let it rain. God, let it rain. If you need prayer, if you need somebody to pray with you, then step out of your seat, come down here. Come on, lead us in this.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.